The world is changing fast, but you can learn it at a slower pace.
Special English.
You're listening to Special English. Here is the news.
The FIBA Women's Asia Cup will be back to China in July next year. That is according to the FIBA Regional Office, Asia. This is the fourth time that China is hosting the region's flagship women's national team competition. The previous three were 2015 in Wuhan, 2005 in Qinhuangdao, and Shanghai in 1984. FIBA Executive Director for Asia, Hargop Kacharian, said that the decision reflects not only China's rich basketball heritage, but also its unwavering commitment to advancing the women's game. Kacharian expressed wishes that such an event will help inspire generations of athletes and fans alike. Last year, China was crowned at the FIBA Women's Asia Cup to end their 12-year wait for the title with a victory over Japan. The city of Shenzhen hosted the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2019 draw ceremony and Group G games, and the Under-18 Women's Asia Cup 2004. The city will also host the Under-18 Women's Asia Cup this year.
You're listening to Special English. China's first demonstration zone for smart electric vehicle charging and battery swapping has completed construction in East China's Jiangsu province. The facility is expected to shorten queuing times needed for electric vehicles charging. Previously, drivers often had to search for nearby charging stations. The new zone uses intelligent algorithms to help drivers find the fastest and most economical charging solutions. Battery swap facilities, which allow vehicles to change batteries in just 80 seconds, will also be introduced, starting with Wuxi, before being promoted across the entire zone. That is according to the state grid Jiangsu Electric Power Corporation. Yuan Xiaodong, a technical director with the company, said that the demonstration zone is expected to reduce the average monthly queuing time required for charging by nearly 50%. The demonstration area covers nearly 500 square kilometers in the cities of Suzhou, Wuxi, and Changzhou, with about 1,300 charging piles. It is expected to serve over 500,000 new energy vehicle drivers. Yuan added that such a model is expected to be expanded to the adjacent Anhui province and Shanghai municipality to promote the upgrading of the new energy vehicle industry in the Yangtze River Delta region. Data from the National Energy Administration shows that the country's charging facilities reached almost 8.6 million by the end of last year, up 65% year on year. China's new energy vehicle ownership also surpassed 20 million by the end of last year. This is Special English. China's self-developed large passenger aircraft, C919, has commenced operation on a new route connecting Shanghai and the historic city of Xi'an in northwest China's Shanxi province,
marking the launch of the third regular route for the model. The aircraft began its commercial flights last May and has since maintained regular operations between Shanghai and Chengdu, the capital of southwest China's Sichuan province. Its second regular route connects the megacities of Beijing and Shanghai. As of the end of last month, the C919 fleet of China Eastern Airlines completed some 1,100 commercial flight trips, accumulating more than 3,000 safe flight hours and transporting 145,000 passengers.
You're listening to Special English.
China has released a guideline aimed at continuing to optimize payment services of bank cards, promoting cash use, and facilitating mobile payment as part of the efforts to better fulfill the diverse payment preferences of foreigners and senior citizens across the country, noting that most overseas visitors are used to paying with bank cards. The guideline urged efforts to expand the acceptance of bank cards across various settings, such as utility payment, medical facilities, tourist attractions, and shopping malls. The acceptance of overseas bank cards would also be broadened, as the guideline has encouraged localities to upgrade payment facilities for such cards at key businesses in large business districts, tourist attractions, hotels, hospitals, and other locations. Jiang Qingsong, Deputy Governor of the People's Bank of China, said that the acceptance rate of international bank cards among key businesses in Shanghai and Zhejiang province has reached 90%. Apart from bank cards, cash is also among the preferred mode of payment for not only overseas travelers, but also seniors in the country. Despite the increasing prevalence of cashless transactions in China, the guidelines stressed efforts to encourage cash acceptance in transport, shopping, catering, entertainment, and other kinds of businesses, as well as to ensure sufficient cash reserves for business owners. In this regard, Jiang vowed to investigate and penalize instances of vendors rejecting cash, noting that the status of the Chinese currency, the renminbi, as legal tender should be guaranteed. The guideline also underscored efforts to set up more currency exchange counters and facilities, expanding the range of foreign currencies that can be exchanged for renminbi cash at airports, ports, hotels, and other locations frequented by overseas visitors. To address the digital gap among seniors, major mobile payment applications in China have already implemented changes tailored to the elderly, such as streamlining the payment process, increasing font sizes, and providing customer services. In terms of measures to facilitate mobile payment for overseas visitors, Alipay and WeChat Pay, China's two major payment apps, now allow foreign users to link their international cards, including Visa and MasterCard, to their platforms, greatly smoothing the payment processes. Other measures
include a directive from the People's Bank of China instructing major payment platforms to increase the single transaction limit from $1,000 to $5,000 and the annual cumulative transaction limit from $10,000 to $50,000 for overseas travelers using mobile payments. Alipay and Tencent sources have confirmed that both payment applications have already raised their transaction limits to the specified amounts.
This is Special English.
You've been listening to programs from CGTN Radio.
CGTN Radio.
We invite you to visit us online for more audio, pictures and in-depth reports. At radio.cgtn.com, you can access a wide range of programs and find your favorite news, talk, features, entertainment shows and podcasts. Hear the difference with CGTN Radio.
This is Special English.
The cultural and tourism industries in China have seen strong recovery and vigorous growth in 2023. Minister of Culture and Tourism Sun Ye Li said that the tourism boom had played a crucial role in stimulating domestic demand, promoting employment, as well as invigorating the market and bolstering confidence. According to Sun, during the past winter season, China witnessed an ice and snow tourism boom in its northeastern regions. In Heilongjiang province alone, from November last year to February, the number of tourists reached 120 million, generating revenue of 170 billion yuan, nearly 24 billion US dollars. The entire country also experienced a tourism boom last year, as domestic tourists made nearly 4.9 billion trips, with total tourism expenditure approaching 5 trillion yuan. The minister added that the market for performing arts thrived last year. Approximately 440,000 commercial offline shows were staged, generating revenue of over 50 billion yuan. Meanwhile, online performing activities proved to be even more popular, with revenues roughly surpassing 200 billion yuan and 770 million participants.
You're listening to Special English.
China's Bluetooth headphone market expanded last year. Some 85 million units of Bluetooth headphones were sold in China last year, an increase of 7.5% year on year. That is according to a report from global market research firm International Data Corporation. In breakdown, sales of true wireless earphones increased 5% year on year to 60.9 million units, while sales of open ear headphones hit 6.5 million units, soaring 130% year-on-year. The report forecasts that the open-ear headphone market in China will continue to grow this year. Wireless earphones produced by cell phone brands will become cheaper, and sales channels for the headphones will diversify.
This is Special English.
Colombia will host the 16th Conference of Parties to the UN Convention on Biological Diversity in October this year. the Latin American country's Minister of Environment, Susana Mohammed, said that COP16, which is scheduled from October the 21st to November the 1st, will be a mixture of cultural and environmental biodiversity from Latin American countries. According to David Cooper, Acting Executive Secretary of the Secretariat of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, indigenous communities in 13 ecoregions of Colombia and neighboring countries will share their knowledge of rare endemic species with the delegates. COP16 will accelerate action and show progress towards turning the 4 goals and 23 targets of the biodiversity plan into nationally driven action. COP16 will be the first biodiversity summit since the adoption of the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework at COP15, which was held in December 2022. In addition, the summit will finalize and operationalize the multilateral mechanism for the fair and equitable sharing of benefits from the use of digital sequence information on genetic resources.
You're listening to Special English.
An international research team, led by Chinese scientists, has found that East Asian hominins possessed advanced stone tool technology as early as 1.1 million years ago, much earlier than previously thought. Led by the Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology and Paleoanthropology of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the team carried out a systematic study on the characteristics of stone tool technology at the Senjiawan site in Nihewan Basin in northern China, revealing the earliest prepared core technology in Eurasia. Prepared core technology is an important part of Acheulean industry, the first standardized tradition of tool making of Homo erectus and early Homo sapiens. The research team believes that the hominins at the Senjiawan site had similar cognitive level and technical ability as the Acheulean hominins. According to Pei Shuwen, one of the corresponding authors, the study is of great significance for the evolution and innovation of early Paleolithic technology. It shows the great potential of Nihewan Basin in constructing the development model of human evolution and behavior in East Asia for millions of years. The study was published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America.
This is Special English.
That is the end of this edition of Special English. To recap, I'm going to read two of the news items again at normal speed. Please listen carefully. China's first demonstration zone for smart electric vehicle charging and battery swapping has completed construction in East China's Jiangsu province. The facility is expected to shorten queuing time needed for electric vehicle charging. Previously, drivers often had to search for nearby charging stations. The new zone uses intelligent algorithms to help drivers find the fastest and most economical charging solutions. Battery swap facilities, which allow vehicles to change batteries in just 80 seconds, will also be introduced, starting with Wuxi, before being promoted across the entire zone. That is according to the state grid Jiangsu Electric Power Corporation. Yuan Xiaodong, a technical director with the company, said that the demonstration zone is expected to reduce the average monthly queuing time required for charging by nearly 50%. The demonstration area covers nearly 500 square kilometres in the cities of Suzhou, Wuxi and Changzhou. With about 1,300 charging piles, it is expected to serve over 500,000 new energy vehicle drivers. Yuan added that such a model is expected to be expanded to the adjacent Anhui province and Shanghai municipality to promote the upgrading of the new energy vehicle industry in the Yangtze River Delta region. Data from the National Energy Administration shows that the country's charging facilities reached almost 8.6 million by the end of last year, up 65% year-on-year. China's new energy vehicle ownership also surpassed 20 million by the end of last year.
You're listening to Special English.
China has released a guideline aimed at continuing to optimize payment services of bank cards, promoting cash use, and facilitating mobile payment as part of the efforts to better fulfill the diverse payment preferences of foreigners and senior citizens across the country. Noting that most overseas visitors are used to paying with bank cards, the guideline urged efforts to expand the acceptance of bank cards across various settings, such as utility payment, medical facilities, tourist attractions, and shopping malls. The acceptance of overseas bank cards would also be broadened, as the guideline has encouraged localities to upgrade payment facilities for such cards at key businesses, in large business districts, tourist attractions, hotels, hospitals, and other locations. Jiang Qingsong, Deputy Governor of the People's Bank of China, said that the acceptance rate of international bank cards among key businesses in Shanghai and Zhejiang province also reached 90%. Apart from bank cards, cash is also among the preferred modes of payment for not only overseas travellers but also seniors in the country, despite the increasing prevalence of cashless transactions in China. The guideline stressed efforts to encourage cash acceptance in transport, shopping, catering, entertainment, and other kinds of businesses, as well as to ensure sufficient cash reserves for business owners. In this regard, Jiang vowed to investigate and penalize instances of vendors rejecting cash, noting that the status of the Chinese currency, the renminbi, as legal tender should be guaranteed. The guideline also underscored efforts to set up more currency exchange counters and facilities, expanding the range of foreign currencies that can be exchanged for renminbi cash at airports, ports, hotels, and other locations frequented by overseas visitors. To address the digital gap among seniors, major mobile payment applications in China have already implemented changes tailored to the elderly, such as streamlining the payment process, increasing font sizes, and providing customer services. In terms of measures to facilitate mobile payments for overseas visitors, Alipay and WeChat Pay, China's two major payment apps, now allow foreign users to link their international cards, including Visa and MasterCard, to their platforms, greatly smoothing the payment processes. Other measures include a directive from the People's Bank of China instructing major payment platforms to increase the single transaction limit from $1,000 to $5,000 and the annual cumulative transaction limit from $10,000 to $50,000 for overseas travelers using mobile payments. Alipay and Tencent sources have confirmed that both payment applications have already raised their transaction limits to the specified amounts. That is the end of today's program. I hope you'll join us every day to learn English at a slower pace.